Good morning, church. It is a beautiful day, and we are blessed to be together today to sing praises to God. Thank you, Brother Murphy, for leading us so well in these songs of praise, to go to Him in prayer. I appreciate Brother Tim's prayer, and Brother Adam, who led our thoughts and minds as we went back to the cross and thought about the sacrifice of Jesus, who died for us, and He rose again. And now we have this time to study His Word, and it is very, very good that we can be together in this place. Our series this month is In the Beginning of Our Victory, God. In the Beginning of Our Victory, God. And I have some really good news to share this morning, that there is victory over sin. And how fitting, how proper, what a blessing it is to know that we have a new brother in Christ. Who last night, Titus Johnson, learned there is victory over sin in Jesus Christ. And he put on Jesus in baptism, because it is in the gospel, the good news, that there is victory over sin. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It absolutely is. And this morning we're talking about the gospel, victory over sin, the power of God unto salvation. But this morning I don't want to just tell you about that. No, what I want to do is tell you in such a way that you can share it with another. That our time together, and this lesson this morning, is about equipping and encouraging each one of us to tell others about the good news, about the gospel of Jesus Christ, where there is victory. By now you've opened up your program and you have noticed that page 3 looks a little different today than it does most Sundays. You don't have there the typical interactive outline, and that's because this is not the typical sermon. But I am showing you a powerful tool that you can use to tell others, to tell the world about the gospel and where victory over sin can be found. I do not want you to ignore page 3 in the program. Just that today you're going to be filling it out after services instead of during services. We're not going to fill in the blanks during our study together. But hang on to that. We're going to come back to that at the end of services. We are disciples of Christ. Here at Livingston Church. And as disciples, we always want to be growing deeper in our relationship with God, closer in our fellowship as a church family, and bolder in our proclamation of the gospel. Bolder in our proclamation of the good news to others. And how does that come about? Well, here we talk about the Livingston Circle of Discipleship. We're committing to following Jesus, and very specifically that means a disciple is one who honors God, who learns from God, who loves like God, and who leads others to God, all while abiding in God's Word. And so for our time this morning, we're going to be focusing on this idea of leading others to God. Particularly, how can we be bolder in proclaiming the gospel to others? We are leading others to God. And I'm glad you're here. I look out, and what I know about this church is that this is a group of people very interested in leading others to God. It's a room full of people like that. And one way I know is all of the new faces who have come our way in the past year, who have come to be members here at Livingston. In fact, brethren, God has blessed us. God has blessed us and blessed our efforts, and we have grown. And actually, we have hit a trigger point in our church attendance and in our membership that we are going to be installing a new row of pews across the back of the auditorium. Amen? Amen. I thought you'd feel good about that. I feel really good about that. We are going to add some more pews. We're going to add some more pews, and we're going to praise the goodness of God for this opportunity. Your faithfulness and your effort to share the word with others is to be commended. There is room for more people at Livingston Church, and we're going to make even more room because we are leading other people to God. Now, as we speak of leading others to God, and we talk about our evangelism outreach, here at Livingston, we've talked about it in sort of two veins, two prongs, if you will. There is the come and see evangelism, and that's where we make invitations. We put on events like October 1st, Meet the Church Day, okay? And we ask people to come and see. Guest evangelism that so many of you are involved in, it's fantastic. The other prong, the other vein, though, is go and tell evangelism. Like we read in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, go and make disciples of all the nations. I hope that you will all be back tonight at 5 o'clock, because Brother Evan's going to bring a special lesson about this come and see evangelism, about our event going on October 1st. So I want you to be back here at 5 o'clock. But this morning, I'm talking about go and tell. Go and tell evangelism. How do we go and make disciples of all the nations? Do you need good news today? I'm going to tell you, you know some people who need good news today. The gospel, they need that, and we can go and tell. I don't mean just the preachers. I don't mean just the elders. I mean that every Christian can be energized, can be equipped, can be empowered to present the gospel to others. Now, right there, somebody's saying, oh, hang on, let's take a deep breath, because you just said every Christian. That's me too in this pew. Hang on. We get a little bit of anxiety sometimes, a little bit of fear about the idea of talking to someone about the gospel. And can I confess to you right now? I have had opportunities in my life when I chickened out. Has anyone else ever chickened out? You knew that you should have said something. That was the moment, and then it was gone, and you were crippled by your fear. That's my confession. I've done that. You've done that too. So we've all been there in that place, okay? And why do we chicken out? Well, we get a little worried. What will I say? Where will I start? What if they ask a question? I don't know the answer to that question. And we can talk ourselves out of sharing the gospel before we've ever started. Let me talk about those issues real quick. This idea of what will I say, where will I start? Every book on evangelism I've read, every bit of research I've done, every older preacher I've spoken with is unanimous in this point. You need a plan. You need a presentation. You need a lesson, one that you know that you are prepared so you know, well, this is what I'm going to say. This is what I'm going to show them. This is what I'm going to share when I have my opportunity. I need one. And that's what's so beautiful about I Need Good News Today. And this website, ineedgoodnewstoday.com. Because it is a clear and simple presentation of the gospel that will be with you wherever you have your phone or your tablet or a computer. You can know what you're going to say. You can know where you're going to start. You can know. Well, what about this other idea? What if they ask questions? I don't know the answer to those questions. I'll tell you this morning that, granted, there is no one-size-fits-all evangelism plan for every person and in all circumstances. But I also want you to know, Christian, you know a whole lot more about the gospel than you give yourself credit for. And you know what you believe about Jesus Christ, and you know what you did to become a Christian. And if you know those two things, you can share the gospel with another person. You know all you need to know to be about leading others to God. You really do. Now, having said that, sometimes we have a little trepidation because we begin to talk to somebody who is currently a committed, comfortable churchgoer somewhere. And if my idea of evangelism is, I think there's some religious error going on in that church. I need to try to pry him out of that place. But he's currently going there and he's committed and he's comfortable. That might be a really hard thing to do. I might think I need to know all kinds of doctrines and all kinds of arguments and all kinds of issues. There is religious error, and it does need to be corrected. But I want to tell you, we need to have a broader perspective and know more people and meet more people than just people who are currently committed, content, churchgoers somewhere. And there's a whole lot of people like that. It is time to open our eyes to intentionally meet and speak to people who are not already current, committed, content, churchgoers somewhere. To make some new connections. Talk about spiritual things with those people. And if we could focus on simply meeting and telling people the gospel, there's an awful lot of people to talk to. An awful lot of people. In fact, if we believe the numbers, the fastest growing religious segment in America today are people that refer to themselves as nones. They self-identify as non-denominational, as non-Christian, as non-religious. It's not that they're necessarily opposed to religion or hearing the gospel, but they recognize themselves. They're not a part of any of it. They are none. And unlike earlier generations, many people today lack a Bible background. They are not beholden to any doctrinal system in our country. There's a lot of people like that. And so this message at ineedgoodnewstoday.com, this tool, is a gospel presentation to share the gospel with anyone, but especially speaking to those nones and win people out of the world. What we're going to see is a message that presents the Bible worldview. It explains the gospel and how people respond to the gospel to have victory over sin and confidence about going to heaven. I want you to know this morning, we believe in Romans 1 and verse 16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And we believe in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we believe that disciples, more disciples, need to be telling it. Telling the word of God. Telling the gospel. So that we might stand back and watch God work through it. We believe that God blesses the preaching of the gospel. God will work when we work and we tell another the gospel. So what I'm putting in your hands this morning, what we're putting in your hands this morning is a simple gospel presentation you can use to tell others about Jesus and God's plan for salvation. I want you to know that Brother Edwin and I and several others in the congregation have been working on this actually for about a year now. We've been working about this to have this lesson that lives on several different media that is simple, clear, memorable, reproducible, that you have it right there in the palm of your hand. And I'm so excited to share it with you. There's such great potential to evangelize, If we as disciples get energized, we can lead others to God. We can go and tell. And we're going to walk through it now. Okay, so what I'm going to do, and thanks to David Gallagher for this, I'm actually going to switch over from my PowerPoint. We're going to go out to the website, ineedgoodnewstoday.com. ineedgoodnewstoday.com. And I want to show this to you. One way to share the gospel, to use this gospel presentation, is just to direct people to this website. And on the back tables, there's big stack of really sharp looking cards with the question, do you need good news today? Take some with you. On the back of it, there's the website. There's the phone number. There's a QR code. They can zap with their phone and go right to that website. All right. I want you to take some of those. I want you to share some of those. Those are the action steps. Those are one of the action steps in our lesson. People go to the site. Let them navigate it by themselves. That's one way you could help. Brian Harbor made those sharp-looking cards, and Brian Harbor designed so much of the artistic elements of what I'm showing with you. And so, thank you, Brian Harbor. When they go to the website, what do they see at the top? Well, there's a phone number there. Call us or text us. Who are they calling? Who are they texting? That information is coming to my phone and to Brother Edwin Crozier's phone. All right? That's what's there. And so we can talk to people immediately. It's very, very exciting. Now, Brother David Gallagher, I want to thank for that and helping us with some of the technical telecommunications aspect of all that. He's done a great job. As you scroll down through the website, you see there's a video that you could watch right there at the top, and you can to go right through the videos. But I want to walk through it a little bit with you. Somebody comes there, they click on that, they watch the videos. There are three short videos. Now, I want to give a shout out and a thank to Keith Goolsby and all of his team at JetFuel Creative, because they did a lot of technical work making these videos. And they're going to look really sharp, and you're going to see that. But they were a wonderful, wonderful group to work with. Do you know anybody that watches a short video? I think I do. What if you could watch a short video and learn the gospel? You do know people that watch short videos. You could share these videos with another. You could send them the link. Ask them to watch the video and then call them up the next day or send them a text and say, hey, did you understand that? Would you like to know more about that? I'm really into this. Or you could just sit down and watch the video with someone. Share the tablet, share the laptop screen together, and let's look at video one together.
Every day we hear bad news, natural disasters, crime, catastrophes, tragedies. Do you ever wonder where God is? Do you ever wonder if God has any good news? He does. The Bible is God's word to us. It explains why we know and experience the world as we do. The Bible also reveals God's promises and plan to save us from the worst of all evil, death. That is good news. But to understand it, we need to start at the beginning. The first chapter of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. While there are still hints of a perfect creation, there's too much bad news to claim the world is very good. In fact, it seems broken. What happened? Well, sin happened. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 explains, "Sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men, because all sinned." Sin is evil, a violation of God's will causing a separation from God. Because of that separation, it brings pain, suffering, and death. That is not the way it should be. We have all sinned, and sin changed everything. Sin has enveloped the whole world, so we are surrounded by bad news. Doesn't God care about this? He does. In fact, He hates it more than we do. But then, why is it still like this? Why doesn't God do something about it? He will. Find out what in the next video.
Well, listen, as we're sitting there and talking through this with someone, what we're going to... What we're doing here is we're meeting on common ground with people. Most people can agree it's a pretty earth, but there are some things in it that are broken. We've all experienced evil, pain, and suffering, even death to some degree. And yet the Bible says there's this good God who made this good world. How does that go together? We've identified that sin is the culprit when men violate God's will, and we're showing that this is God's world. He is hurt when by sin. He's hurt even more than we are. He has a plan for it. What's that plan? So we go to the second video.
In our last video, we learned that the whole world is enveloped by sin, pain, and death. We asked, why doesn't God do something about it? The Bible declares what God will do in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. "The heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But we have all sinned," which means we have broken God's law. Think about it. Have you ever lied, lusted, gossiped, or worse? Then you too have contributed, whether great or small, to the corruption we see in the world around us. We are one of the ungodly. We are part of the problem. The bad news is, if God steps in to judge all the sinners, that includes you and me. But He hasn't done that yet. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 explains why. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God hasn't judged sin yet because He doesn't want you to perish. God has a plan to save you and is postponing His judgment, giving you time to respond to His good news. Are you ready for this good news? We'll explain it in our next video.
All right, in this one, what we're doing is we're going from this global problem of sin to you and to me. We think sometimes we would love for God to step in and intervene against the ungodly when we're thinking of people who are, you know, murderers and kidnappers. But if He steps in to judge the ungodly right now, what have we learned? He's going to judge you. He's going to judge me too. And so people need to understand that sin is their problem. Sin is their crime against God, their guilt. And people need to understand that and appreciate that they have sinned, so that there is tremendous impact and significance to learn Jesus died for those sins. And that's why we need this step. But God has a remedy to save us from sin, the consequences of sin, and judgment. That's the third video and the rest of the presentation.
In our previous videos, we discovered why the world is the way it is and our role in it. The bad news is God will judge the world, but He wants to save us, and that's good news. We can start learning God's good news in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages of sin is death. Wages are the payment earned for work accomplished. We have all broken God's law and earned the wages of death. This is what we call justice, and God is just. But the free gift of God is eternal life. A gift is not a wage. A gift is offered, not earned. While we have sinned and earned death, God offers us eternal life. This is what we call mercy. And God is merciful. Though a gift is free to the one who receives it, it has to be paid for by the one who gives it. The gift of eternal life is paid for by Jesus, the Son of God, who died on the cross for our sins. He is our Savior. Life in Christ Jesus. We receive God's gift of life in Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't merely die. He defeated death when he rose from the grave on the third day, providing the gift of life for those who are in him. We call this good news. The Bible calls it the gospel. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Life is in Christ Jesus, and we are in Christ Jesus when we've made him our Lord. The Bible says we do this when we believe and are baptized into him, committed to observing what he has commanded. The good news is that a king sacrificed himself for the people who would make him their king. The Bible word for this group of people is church. Eternal life is for those people who become part of Christ's church, taking him as their Lord. And the Bible word for these Christ-following people is disciples. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you." That's why we're sharing this good news, to develop disciples. Can we help you be a disciple of Jesus Christ? If so, call or text and let us know how we can help.
Now, if you're sitting there with someone and watching it together, they don't need to call that number. They can just talk to you, right? You've left the question there, and we'll let that hang, and then we'll talk to them about it. But look, here is the good news. We take one verse, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, as our simple outline. And in this verse, we have sin and justice, mercy, the Savior, the Lord. It's all there. And the choice that we can be a sinner or we can be a disciple, a follower of God and part of his church. That God has made it possible. He's given us the choice, and there is victory over sin if we will respond, if we will believe, if we will be baptized and follow Jesus. So we have this wonderful question at the end. Can I help you be a disciple, a follower of Jesus? And then there's that number. Well, I want to go back to the website. We're going to notice one more thing about it. If I can get my mouse over here. It says, check out the web app. And this is something I want all of you in the room to really get to know. Because it is the same presentation that you watch in the videos, but in the form of an app. I want to push F11. Now, on your touch screen, you can just swipe. I've got to use a keyboard up here a little bit. But man, this is easy, okay? This is easy. We're gonna swipe. So here's the same presentation. It is the gospel, same verses. And you can have it on your phone. You can have it on your tablet to share with someone. We're going to start in the same place. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. And you can have some of this conversation about the world seems broken and things aren't quite right. But I believe there's a God. You say, well, if there's a God, why doesn't he do something about it? Well, look, we need to read the Bible. The Bible is God's word. It explains to us why we know and experience the world as we do. The Bible reveals God's promised plan to save us from the worst of all evil. And the worst is death. But to get the whole story, you have to start at the beginning. And so that's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And throughout the 6 days of creation recorded there in Genesis and all those miracles, we finally come to Genesis 1 and verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was good. And certainly we see things that are good. There's pretty sunsets out by the beach. And I love to hike in the Smoky Mountains. There's incredible design in this world. And yet, when we watch the 6 o'clock news, does it seem like the world is completely good? Well, no. No, it does not. It seems like things are broken. What changed? Well, the Bible tells us what changed. It gives a word for what changed. That word is sin. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 12, sin came into the world through one man and death through sin. So death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, what's neat about the app is that there are some other scriptures, depending on how your conversation is going on in your study, that you can bring up. Would you like a better definition of sin? Well, then you just click there. 1 John 3 verse 4, everyone who makes a practice of sinning has also practiced lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. And then we swipe on, because I'm showing this to you right now. And we see about this problem of how pervasive sin is, right? God created a good earth, but sin has entered. Sin spread to all men. Sin enveloped the earth because all sinned. Sin is this violation of God's will. And it's not that every tragedy is caused by a particular sin or person, but we have all sinned. We have all sinned. Romans 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This world was subjected to futility because of sin. Because of sin, we're surrounded by all this bad news. Sin's the difference. between the world God made and what we see now. Yes, bad news, all bad news, gets back to this: sin and its consequences, the evil, pain, and death that come about. Well, doesn't God care about this? Shouldn't God do something about the evil, about the sin? He does care. He cares more than you and I do. He hates it more than you and I do. And he absolutely has determined to do something about it. The Bible tells us this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, that the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exists, are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. This is what God will do. He hates sin so much, he plans to destroy the world. Well, why hasn't he done it yet? Because it's not just the world. It's the ungodly. Judgment is coming upon the ungodly too. And that's you and me. You see, the bad news gets worse because we're part of the problem. We're the ungodly. We're sinners. And if God steps in like we want to judge and stop sin, everyone gets judged, including you and me. We'd be destroyed. But that hasn't happened yet. And why hasn't God brought about this just judgment yet? Well, 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Lord's not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God has not stepped in to judge yet because he loves us. He loves us despite our sins. He is patient. He's allowing the world to continue in hopes that more will turn to him. He would save us from the judgment. He has a plan to save you from his judgment. That's good news. That's good news. And we can read all over the Bible to find God's good news. But again, we're going to take one verse. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 as our outline. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we go to this screen here. And we have it here again, Romans 6:23, color coded, for the wages of sin is death. We've talked about this a lot. This makes the point of God's justice. But let's say you want to talk about some of those things a little bit more. There's a couple of scriptures there in the back. The gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life. Well, that's his mercy. He's not going to give us exactly what we deserve, but he's going to give us something better. You want to talk a little bit more with someone about the mercy of God, and how merciful he is to sing Christ and to give us the hope of heaven. There's scriptures there about that. Again, I'm just showing you right at this moment. The good news, the gospel then, is that there is eternal life in Christ Jesus. All right, we go back to eternal life in Christ Jesus. The gospel, the power of gospel to salvation. What is the facts of the gospel? And we can talk about 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 5, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day. We certainly want to drive that home. Jesus has died for our sins. Jesus rose again. And how do we get in Christ? Well, Romans 6 verses 3 and 4 talks about that. As many of you have been baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. Here is the time and the moment when we benefit from his sacrifice on our behalf. But you can talk about as many or a few of these verses with someone as you would care to. Who are the people that make Jesus their Lord, Christ Jesus our Lord? Those people are the church. They're the disciples. They're the followers. Got a couple of passages in here about the church where it's called the kingdom and how Jesus is the head of the body of the church. He's the king. He's the head. The church is his. We can talk about that. All of this is God's plan. God's plan to save us from our sins. We swipe once more. We go to Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20. The people in his church, the people believing and following him, obeying his word, these are disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. I have some more verses back here about baptism and the significance of that immersion in water for the forgiveness of our sins. So that people really are becoming Christians, just like the New Testament teaches, to follow Jesus, to make him their Lord. How can I help you become a disciple of Christ? And again, depending on the body language and how things are going, there's another verse right here. Acts 22, verse 16. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Someone might be ready to take that step. But what we have here then is that same presentation in the form of an app. I need goodnewstoday.com/app. It's the same study. So go back to the website. One more thing I want to point out to you. Let's say somebody just comes across this in Google. They're sitting there at their computer. There's a form here they can fill out if they want to know more. That email is going directly to me and directly to Edwin. Many, many ways for people to contact us when they want to know more. Many, many ways for us to make contact and to share the good news. INeedGoodNewsToday.com. Can I please go back to my PowerPoint, David? All right. Well, what happens next? I've shown some of the videos and I've called them. I've gone through the app with somebody. We've looked at the scriptures. What can happen next? The Bible shows us what happens when people hear the gospel. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul is preaching the gospel there at the Areopagus. And notice the response that he had in Acts chapter 17, verses 32 through 34. The scripture says, "And when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, 'We will hear you again on this matter.'" Here's one response we can expect: thanks, but no thanks. Okay? They're going to hear it and they're going to say, "I appreciate your time," but they're going to reject this message. And that is their choice. Many people will choose that. "Thank you, but not now. Thank you, but that is not for me." And it breaks our heart when somebody says it, but that is a choice. I want you to know, when someone says thank you, but no thank you, you still have been the best friend in the world to that person. You have been faithful to God because you shared His word. You meant Him no harm. You were going to help Him eternally. This is success. You told them the truth. That's successful. And not only this, you identified yourself as a Christian. And so if their heart ever does warm to spiritual things in the gospel, they will know to come talk to you. There's a second thing, though, that we get from Acts 17. When people hear the gospel, it says, some said, "We will hear you again on this matter." We can expect some curiosity. I want to use the word follow up for just a minute. That's the word on page 3 you're going to think about, this word follow up. People may have some questions. And particularly if you ask, "Well, how can I help how can I help you become a disciple?" Well, let's go back. What's this word church? Well, let's go back. What was the deal about baptism? You know, they may have some questions about that. And you might want to clarify some things yourself, depending on what they were saying during the process, right? Questions, conversation, that's a good thing. This is the part where we get scared to death. They're going to ask me a question. I'm going to have another conversation. I just wanted to watch the video, send a text to Andrew, and go get baptized. It could happen. Praise God if it does. But someone might want to talk to you about something else. This is good. We think it's bad, but I tell you, it's good. It's good. Because if someone asks you some question about, I don't know, science, there's people in the church that have answers about science. They want to ask you some question about doctrine or end times, and you're like, "I don't know, man, I don't know." There's people in the church that know about those things. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to say, "That's a great question." We're going to write it down, or we're going to make a note on our tablet. And we say, "I'm going to get back to you about it." We're going to use some of our come and see evangelism and say, "I'm so glad that you watched this with me or that you heard this with me. Please come worship with me this Sunday. Come sit with me. Come meet some people who believe this, who are sold out for Jesus Christ. Help them to get on this circle of discipleship. Help them to start honoring God." There's another response, though, that we're told in Acts 17, and that is this. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 34, "However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them." A third response we can expect to sharing the gospel is that there are people who will say to you with tears in their eyes, "I have been looking for this all of my life. Where have you been?" There is some fruit so ripe for the gospel. It is just to pluck it. They are looking. They are seeking. And God has used you to show them the truth. And they will respond. They will be baptized. And again, we're so happy to meet them, to bring them to Livingston and get them into the circle of discipleship as we follow the Lord together. To know all the blessing, benefit, and edification that comes of being a part of a local church. That's part of God's plan. Talking about the church is actually in the lesson. So when people are baptized, they're added to the Lord's church and they'll come be a part of a local church. You don't need to be surprised or afraid of any of these responses. The Bible says this is how people come at it. We get so focused on this question: What will happen if I speak up? What will happen if I show them? I used to get all tore up about that question too. You want to know the question that's haunting me these days? What will happen if I don't? What will happen if I don't speak up? What will happen if I don't show them? Because it may very well be that God has put me in this place, in this moment, for such a time as this. And though God will bring another to share the word with this person, it was my opportunity to do it now. What will happen if I don't? We need to share the gospel. I want you to feel good about this, brethren. It's so exciting. And there's resources to help you. The greatest resource of all is God Almighty, because He will bless the preaching of His word. He will make the church grow. He's the only one who gives the increase. He's the one that brings about the growth. He will have victory over sin through Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we pray to Him. We pray for opportunities. We pray for courage. We pray for open eyes. He is our power. There's going to be a couple of workshops about this particular presentation and this web tool next Sunday night at August 20th, following the evening services. You want to talk to me and Edwin about it? We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about, you know, some other what might happen next scenarios. We'll practice going through and talking about it to one another. That's a really powerful thing. It's fun to role play with Edwin. Okay. He's an actor, and sometimes I've gone through this and he'll say, okay, now I'm an atheist. Go. Okay. Now I'm really bored. Go. Okay, now I speak another language. Go. Oh, well, no, he never did that one. That would have been mean. But we're going to have these times where we're going to be with those who really want to share the word with others, honing one another's skill. We're going to do that again on Sunday night, September 10th. If one doesn't work for your schedule, perhaps another will. And the third thing I want to tell you about is if you just want to listen to this, talking through this, there's a couple of audio recordings now. There's today's audio. Go to the website and listen to it. Get the CD. There was another message a few months ago called A Disciple Leads Others to God. Go to the website, listen to the CD, and you can hear me talking through this material. You can hear me talking through this material. And so there's resources. INeedGoodNewsToday.com. So on page 3 of the program, there's a readiness survey to take. And there's some action steps to follow this week. And I want to encourage you to do that. Let's do two things. Number one, let's bow and have a word of prayer. And then Brother Murphy's going to come forward and lead us in some more song worship. All right? Bow with me, please. And then I'll extend the invitation. Our great God and Father, thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. Thank you that we have come together as Livingston Church in your presence and that you are in our midst. We pray that all that's done in this place and in your name is for your glory and your glory alone. Father, help us to have a heart and a hunger in ourselves for the people of this world that you love so much you gave your only begotten Son for. That he died for them and that he rose again, died for our sins. And Father, we have been blessed to know redemption through the gospel. Help us, Father, to be courageous to share that good news with other people. Father, you know that a lot of prayer and effort's gone in this tool thus far, and yet this is just the starting phase. And I pray, Father, that you might bless this effort. I pray that all of us might take great courage with this new tool and the opportunity to point other people to it, to show it to others. It's your word. It's the gospel. And Father, we want to see you bless the preaching and teaching of your word. And we beg that we might be able to see it even in this place, even in this church. So Father, go with us as we depart this place and never depart your care. Bless the preaching of your word. And go with us through the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Last night, Titus Johnson was baptized into Jesus Christ. Amen. And there may very well be one in the room this morning who has seen, in brief, but seen, God's plan to save us. You have sin. You're a part of a broken world. And yet you need not suffer the judgment this world will know. An eternal separation from God. Not when he loves you so much. Not when Jesus died for you and rose again. Not when there's a moment right now that you could come forward and be baptized, immersed in water to have your sins washed away. You don't need to leave here apart from God. You need to leave here in Christ. If you would respond to the gospel and become a Christian, don't wait. Come forward now while we stand and sing. Please come.